Welcome to the CRE Exchange Podcast, where we deep dive into the global trends and challenges of CRE professionals across all sectors of the commercial real estate industry. We engage with experts in the space to bring you innovative insights into industry practices, opportunities, and challenges to better inform your decisions. This episode is brought to you by Altus Group, a global leader in asset and fund intelligence for commercial real estate.
Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of CRE Exchange. I'm Cole Perry, your host and Associate Director of Research here at Altus Group, a leading provider of asset and fund intelligence. I'm joined by Omar Al-Sarai, our U.S. Director of Research. Together, we'll share the latest news and trends in the U.S. commercial real estate market. Omar, it's good to be with you. What do we have on the agenda today?
Glad to be here. Today, we're going to be sharing some of the key insights from the Q1 2025 Investments and Transactions Quarterly Report. So this is focusing on deal volume, pricing trends, and our biggest takeaways and surprises from the quarter's CRE sales activity. Do you want to give a quick recap to listeners or a refresher on what the report covers?
Yeah, absolutely. We call it ITQ, or the Investments and Transactions Quarterly Report. It's a product of the research team here in the U.S. It's a comprehensive overview of CRE investment sales, more than 4 million of them going back to 2000. The kind of purpose of the report is to identify high-level trends in transactions and investment to kind of give some context to the overall U.S. CRE market. This is data on non-distressed commercial property transactions across the major property sectors, so multifamily, industrial, office, retail, hospitality, and commercial general and mixed use. And the report covers volume, pricing, and pacing at the national level with some additional insights at the MSA level. Why don't we jump right in? I know you've covered some of the kind of headline figures about transaction volume.
Yeah, so through the first quarter of 2025, more than 33,200 commercial real estate parcels or properties traded for a total of more than $69.3 billion. Now, if you look at this on a trailing four-quarter basis, the total count of transactions fell by about 8% compared to the first quarter a year ago, but a much more modest 2% decline compared to a quarter ago. Potentially, you could read this smaller decline on a quarter-of-a-quarter basis as another encouraging sign that the CRE transaction activity is at or nearing a bottom. A similar trend of moderating declines was also seen when you look at the aggregate transaction dollar volume. So this is really just sum of the dollar amounts that traded. And the aggregate dollar volume for these single asset transactions across the traditional CRE buckets, so as Cole noted, commercial, hospitality, industrial, multifamily, mixed use, office, and retail, they continued to see declines through Q1 as well. And so through the end of March 2025, the trailing four-quarter dollar volume fell by about 12% on a year-on-year basis, and a more modest 5% down on a quarter-on-quarter basis. And those comparisons, what I'm calling out, are really comparing the trailing four quarters to either the trailing four quarters one quarter back or to the four quarters a year ago. But there is some seasonality in this quarterly data, and the first quarter tends to be the smallest in terms of both the number of transactions and the total dollar volume transacted. If we're to look back over more than a quarter century or 25-year period of that quarterly data, the first quarter of the year usually accounts for about 23% in terms of the total number of transactions in a given year and about 22% of the aggregate dollar volume in a given year. So you can see that because they're less than what you would expect to be 25% if every quarter were the same. This is reflective of the first quarter really just being smaller than a straight division by four. And in the first quarter of 2025, transaction activity accounted for 22.5% of the prior four quarters in terms of the total number of trades. So that's about 1.4% below the typical first quarter amount. And also in the first quarter, if you look at dollar volume of single property trades, this accounted for about 20.7% of the trailing four quarters total dollar volume. So about 1.7% off from that typical, I'm doing the air quotes, typical Q1 dollar volume. Now, if we compare the Q1 data to prior first quarter periods, the count of trades for single asset commercial real estate was down about 10% compared to Q1 trades over the prior 10 years. Q1 2025's dollar volume was down about 20% compared to the prior 10 years of first quarter transacted dollar volume. So I know we just looked at it many ways, but overall, I would say that the first quarter data on commercial real estate transaction activity continued to show some declines, although those were moderating. And Cole, what were some of the key takeaways in terms of pricing?
Yeah, before I dive into this, I'll break it down a few different ways. In the report, we have a rolling average price per square foot. It's a 90-day rolling average, and we look at that value. We also dig into some MSA level statistics where we take the median price per square foot of various property types. And I'll split this up quarterly, annually, and then look at some other kind of peak to trough metrics. But looking just at the quarterly data, so Q1 2025 versus Q4 2024, the average price per square foot of all single property transactions was nearly flat or rose just 0.1% quarter over quarter. There were increases across all sectors except for industrial, which actually fell 4.6%. And the largest increase was hospitality, up 5.9% on the quarter. Now, if you're looking annually, which is a metric I think a lot of people are most focused on, you saw an increase of 2.6% for all property types. Now, across the major property sectors, though, price per square foot rose annually for hospitality, 14.8%, retail, 5.2%, multifamily, 3.9%, and office, 3.5%. For office, it was nearly flat, actually falling just 0.1%. It actually fell for commercial, general, and mixed-use properties as well, which is a catch-all bucket of a lot of other property types, at minus 0.2%. Now, what gets lost in some of those just quarterly and annual statistics is some of the broader trends that you've seen with these. And I want to call out office and multifamily. So office is down 17% from its peak, which was in 2019 quarter four. It's down 17%. Multifamily is down 20% from its 2022 Q4 average price per square foot. So still some major differences from what we were seeing in the immediate post-COVID period. Now, what we have in this report, actually in the 2024 Q4 version, we covered some MSA level stats, at least aggregate for all of 2024. But what I've done this time is break out some pricing statistics for the 10 largest MSAs by population across the four major property sectors, so industrial, office, multifamily, and retail. And we're just showing the price per median price per square foot of a single property deal in 2025 Q1 compared to the median price per square foot in 2024 Q1. This is in the form in the report of a table just showing the change from a year ago. And so for those who are not as deep in the census data as I am, a reminder of those 10 MSAs, you're looking at New York, LA, Chicago, Dallas, Houston, Washington, Philly, Miami, Atlanta, and Phoenix. This data reveals some super interesting trends, whether you slice it by MSA or by property type. So for example, the only MSAs in that list that saw negative pricing trends across industrial were New York, LA, and Houston. I think it's notable that those are also large port cities, possibly some slowdown in deal making ahead of in advance of the tariffs. All other MSAs actually saw double-digit increases in the median price per square foot for industrial deals. Two MSAs actually saw positive pricing trends across every sector. Those were Philly and Phoenix. Phoenix saw double-digit growth for a median price per square foot for all sectors except multifamily, which was just up 4%. And price growth in Philly was a little more muted. Multifamily was up 4%. Retail was up 4%. Now, Houston, on the opposite side of this, saw double-digit declines across all four sectors. The median deal per square foot price down 39% for industrial, 42% for office, 14% for multifamily, 39% for retail. Los Angeles barely escapes my scrutiny under this metric. The median price per square foot of a multifamily deal and was actually flat year over year, but had large declines for all other sectors. So overall, I think these are median per square foot values, so you would expect to see large differences and big swings, but I think the directionality and the range of the values is what's important here. So multifamily had the tightest range, and I think that relates to some of the other statistics we're going to cover, but Dallas saw a large double-digit decline for multifamily, but New York saw a double-digit increase. Now, the widest range was for retail, where Washington saw a double-digit increase in price per square foot, or median price per square foot, while Houston saw a massive decline. I bring that up to say that it's important to remember, and I think even if we weren't to focus on the actual numbers here, that these pricing details are really fascinating because I think it gets lost in the aggregate national conversation about average pricing or median pricing, that 4% decline in industrial on average on the quarter is actually just a combination of all of these other deals at an MSA level. So Houston, for example, could be seeing huge declines while Phoenix is seeing massive increases in pricing, and it comes out in the wash to where we see some of these flat or slight declines. So I think something to keep in mind when you're looking at some of these aggregate statistics is that there's a lot of regional characteristics to these that we might not otherwise see. So I encourage people to take a look at some of the data about those in the report.
Quentin, to your point, that is an excellent reminder to the listeners. This is not an analysis that is embedding any sort of assumptions or controlling for similar characteristics. We're not tracking an exact property. This report is actually, I would say, it's an exploration of the data and picking up on the trends that the raw data is showing us and how it reflects overall CRE activity. So I think the median property that transacts, it's not going to be the same median.
It's very different in Washington than it is in Houston. Correct. I think that actually is why the retail figures are like wildly different.
Yeah. And that's something that I know that we've had a few discussions internally of how some of these numbers are not what people, I guess, want to see, or it's not what they were expecting to see. But this is the data, and this is an exploration of the data. I'm not speaking for Cole, but as somebody that is very focused on data, like, I do like seeing what the data has to tell, in addition to then also interpreting it and making sure that it makes sense. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Cole.
You're good. How about we dive into some of the property sectors, though? I know that we usually split these up 3 and 3. Do you want to start with industrial?
Sure. So I'll just run through some of the highlights for the industrial sector. So for single asset industrial trades through Q1, the median transaction size was down 14.1% year on year, but was down only 4.9% versus the fourth quarter of 2024. To a average size of $1.59 million. While the median size of the industrial properties traded increased by 5% year on year to 15.2 thousand square feet. On a year on year basis, Q1 2025 pricing for industrial was down just a hair under zero, so it was down about 10 basis points. And within the subsectors for industrial, storage pricing fell the most, and it was down over 20% year on year, followed by manufacturing, which was down 13% year on year. Warehouse and distribution and other industrial fared much better, posting prices that were up approximately 4% year over year. Around 54 properties transacted on an average day through Q1 2025. This is well below the recent historical levels seen since the pandemic, and still well below if you go back over a 25-year period. Outside of the industrial sector and hopping over to hospitality, for single-asset hospitality trades through Q1 2025, the median transaction size in dollar terms was up 11% year over year, but was down 13% versus the prior quarter, or Q4 2024, to $4 million. While the median size of a hospitality property that traded in the first quarter decreased by 4% year-on-year to 31.5 thousand square feet. On a year-on-year basis, Q1 2025 pricing for hospitality was up about 14.8%, And within the subsectors, full service pricing was up about 12.8% year on year, and limited service properties pricing was up even more at 15.8% versus the first quarter of 2024. While there was positive movement in terms of the median transacted price per square foot and median transaction size, only five properties transacted on an average day throughout the first quarter of 2025. This is well below the 25-year average of nine properties. And then the final sector that I'll cover is the ever vague but still important commercial, general, and mixed use. And so for the first quarter of 2025, single asset, commercial, general, and mixed use trades had a median transaction size that was $900,000. This is up 2.9% year on year, but was down 10% versus the fourth quarter of 2024. While the median size of these trades in terms of the property size measured by square feet was down 9% year on year to a typical size of 7.6 thousand square feet. On a year-on-year basis, Q1 2025 pricing for commercial, general, and mixed use was down, it was pretty much flat and down about 20 basis points. And within the subsectors, mixed use pricing fell the most and was down over 8.4% year-on-year, while commercial general as a subsector was up 10% year-on-year. Around 53 properties transacted on your average Q1 2025 day for the sector of commercial, general, and mixed use. Cole, what were some of your key takeaways for those sectors?
Yeah, so we'll go and start with multifamily. I looked at just some of the annual trends, at least in terms of the median value of a single transacted property. For multifamily, it increased 6.3% on the year. But over the same period, the median square footage of a single property decreased 1.4%. Now, around 106 properties transacted on an average day in Q1 2025. I think that's probably the largest of any of the sectors. Despite that, though, in Q1 2025, that level was similar to that of a decade ago or Q1 2015, in addition to the COVID lows. When we look at office, the median value of a single property increased 25.2%, so a huge jump on the year. And the median square footage increased slightly, about 0.9%. Now, a little over 60 office properties would transact on a given day, and that's actually far below the typical pre-COVID level of around 80. But when you look at the retail sector, a single transacted property, or the median value of a single transacted property increased 8.8%, and the median square footage of a single transacted property decreased 0.6%. Some interesting changes there, value increasing, size decreasing. I think that'll tie into one of my big takeaways from the overall report. But Omar, how about you tell us what you thought about some of the results from this quarter?
Yeah, so I would say if I were to really boil down to what my key takeaway is, I'd say it's critically important to watch what happens and not just what is said. Or, as I think everybody knows it better, like, actions speak louder than words. I think it's probably a good lesson that we're all learning through 2025, given we came into the year with high hopes and then there were a lot of proposed changes. And now we're just trying to make sense of everything. But the reason I really would highlight this is that the first quarter transaction activity, at least in terms of what we're looking at in this report, which is single property transactions within the traditional CRE sectors, so hotel, industrial, office, multifamily, retail, for the most part, they haven't really shown signs of the optimism that many market participants really carried into and through pretty much the entire first quarter. And I think what's interesting is where the excitement is being channeled and where it's being acted on is not across these traditional CRE sectors. There's been a lot of excitement around data centers and seniors housing, but those are really a drop in the bucket when you're looking at the entire CRE landscape. And that's what this report's looking at, is the traditional areas. And we just haven't seen the kind of full-scale recovery in effect or even the momentum that would be needed for that recovery to be playing out. However, while these are, I think if you're talking about data centers or seniors, they are exciting spaces, but they aren't necessarily the broad CRE market.
Yeah, there are small segments that aren't going to move the needle for the overall volume stats.
Absolutely. And I still think that CRE as a whole really does still, it's still flirting with the idea of a recovery.
No amount of optimism is going to change the financing environment.
That's right.
Some of this stuff is just not going to pencil out yet.
That's right. I don't think it's contrarian. It's data-driven, right? And if you ask, I think anybody that's either trying to get involved in a transaction or they're actively seeking to be a part of transactions, I think that this will ring pretty true. But I'll step off my soapbox here. But what was one of the key takeaways that you noted?
I'm going to piggyback off something you said here, but I'll tie this to not something that happened in quarter one 25, but actually something in quarter four 24. We're talking about actions speaking louder than words. I think a lot of this optimism really started to bubble up either following the election or leading up to the beginning of 25. And what's really interesting is that our revised Q4 2024 data shows that we had a lot weaker end to the year than you would typically expect in the fourth quarter. And so transactions among just the traditional sectors that we're looking at, we still even saw kind of percentage declines on a quarterly basis that were in line with historical trends. And that the end of 2024, I think being a lot less strong than anticipated would come as a shock to some who read some of our kind of previous commentary. But that's not to say there weren't some bright spots here. When we're talking about a lot of things that are happening that are changing the kind of economic landscape, there's a lot of discussion about the consumer. And there was a particular piece of data that I think stood out to me. When you look at the pricing information, which we did cover in depth here on the show, but there's a lot more in the report, 12 of the 15 property subsectors posted quarter over quarter increases in price per square foot. And the increases were actually led by consumer-facing categories, big box retail, limited service hotel, and full service hotel. So I think even with the injection of uncertainty that preceded April 2nd, this is potentially a bit of a strong indicator about investor expectations for the consumer that I think might fly in the face of some other stuff that we've been reading. But I thought that was notable. So that's my big takeaway. Omar, what was your biggest surprise in the report?
I would say the biggest surprise is really that amidst this challenged backdrop, which has held many of the property sectors near their historic lows, or at least has been stalling out any sort of recovery. And I think understandably, because the macro backdrop hasn't dramatically changed in terms of, if you look at the financing side, the cost of financing is still pretty high. You're seeing some lending and availability improved. I'd say it's improving at the margin. It's not like fully improved. So that is going to certainly weigh heavy on transaction activity. But then you also have certain, I would say, like fundamental challenges across sectors. But despite all of this, the sector that everybody, I think, unanimously hates or is pretty down on, which is office, really actually showed the most convincing signs of improvement. The total dollar volume of total trades, as well as the average size of office transactions, whether you're looking at that in terms of the physical size of square feet or the deal size, or the deal traded size, that all increased on a year-on-year basis, as well as you saw some pricing improvements. I think that was, to me, one of the biggest kind of surprises going through the data. And what stuck out or caught you by surprise?
I think listeners might criticize my definition of surprise here because I continue to be surprised by this particular thing, but it's part of a longer-term trend or much longer-term trend that physically large properties are just simply not transacting in this environment, and they haven't for some time. The median size of transacted single properties has broadly been declining over the last 25 years. But in 2025 Q1, it actually reached new lows for a couple of sectors. One is mixed use and the other is multifamily. At the same time, the median deal sizes in dollars is generally increasing, price per square foot generally increasing. Some of this is general inflationary pressures, but I think we mentioned in the quarter four 2024 report, but I think some of the reason we're not seeing big growth in transaction volume is a lot of the physically large and therefore, by extension, very valuable properties either traded too recently to be trading again now, so in 2021 or 2022. Maybe the math just doesn't work out, or there are questions about value. There's been some capitulation, but not a lot. I do think it's notable that we did see volume increases in dollars for multifamily in addition to office. I think maybe next report, something we can look at is breaking out sales by vintage. I have a suspicion that some of the acceleration in multifamily deal flow is that new stock that came online in 2022 and 2023 actually has come online and begun selling. So I'll be interested to test that thesis. But so yeah, something that surprised me, just really this broad decline in the size of physical properties. It's been declining pretty broadly and it seems to continue to creep lower. And I was really surprised to see that in the first quarter of 25.
Shrinkflation.
Absolutely. Omar, do you want to remind folks how they'll be able to view the full report? There's a lot more in there that we didn't discuss on the show today that I hope they'll check out.
Sure. You can find the link to the report in the show notes on this podcast, wherever you're listening to it. Or you can go to the Altus website and find it by search, or just search it in Google or any web browser that you use for search, and search for the Investments and Transactions Quarterly Report.
Excellent. I want to remind people there is an online and a PDF version. So however you prefer to consume some of the data, you can find it in either format. But Omar, I think that's all the time we've got. But before we sign off, just want to encourage our listeners once again that if you like the show, we would love if you could rate it, give us 5 stars on Apple or Spotify or both. Leave us comments there as well. We do read them. Or feel free to send us an email, altusresearch@altusgroup.com. We'd love to know what topics you'd like covered on the program. In the meantime, Omar, it's been a pleasure. Looking forward to speaking with you on another episode of CRE Exchange. Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to the CRE Exchange podcast, powered by Altus Group. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a 5-star review and be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. This episode is brought to you by Altus Group, a global leader in asset and fund intelligence for commercial real estate. At Altus, we bring together capabilities across technology, analytics, valuations, and development advisory services. We are guided by bold thinking, integrity, and inclusivity, partnering with CRE professionals to maximize opportunities with exceptional service experience. Find out more at altusgroup.com.